Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Tuesday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And we have a very special show for you today. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And guess what? I'm talking to a lot of ladies this morning. I always talk about how I can always get women on the show. But guess what? This morning, I have some boss ladies for you today. They're bringing the positivity, bringing the noise, bringing the information, and we're going to see what we can learn today from our guests. Our first guest is Camille Davis. She is a PR representative, and she has partnered with Shonda Gore, who we may have on the show a little bit later. But Camille is going to tell us a little bit about herself and what she does. Good morning, Camille. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you for asking. How about you?
I am wonderful. I am so excited to have you on the show. PR is one of my favorite topics. And I tell people, I use this kind of selfishly sometimes. I'm like, how can you help me get out there? So that's, I'm sure, what our audience is waiting to learn. Our next guest is Kara Duffy. She's an entrepreneur and she specializes in startups. And I know she's definitely a boss. Good morning, Kara. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I run Powerful Ladies, and we have a podcast, and I'm a business coach and consultant. And yeah, it's wherever you're at, let's start your business. Everyone should have their own, I think.
Yes, tell us a little bit about what you have going on in the background.
Oh, our whole menagerie. Yeah. A lot of our favorite art. I love books, so an entire collection of books by color, of course. Yeah.
I love it. Our next guest is Karen Moynihan. She is the CEO of Boss Insights, a company that uses big data and AI to accelerate lending from months to minutes. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. I know one of the things that our audience is interested in is lending, especially in this economy and in this crisis. Everybody wants to know how they're going to be able to get the money.
Yeah, it's been well, I've been focused on that since I was a banker myself in 2010, and now here we are 2020. The world isn't that much different when it comes to getting a loan as a business. And then for the most unforeseen and crazy of reasons, there were about 2 years worth of lending applications in the last month. So I know there's lots of press about it, but 1.4 million businesses got access, 3 million applied. So I'd love to chat about how the rest of them get access and how the 1.4 get access to the forgiveness part.
Okay, but you got to promise me that you just spell it out because you see, already I got my notepad. I'm like, how do I get the money? I'll be talking to Camille, like, how do I get the press? How do I get the money over here from Karen? So my next guest is Carolyn Purcell. She is the CEO of KDPM Consulting, and she's also a certified emotional intelligence and neural life coach. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am great. Thank you so much for having me. And it's great to meet everyone here on this call. So for me, after a 23-year career in the financial industry, I decided to leave and start my own company. So for the past 3 years, we've been helping organizations using the science of human behavior, the science behind emotional intelligence, and how to take that emotional data and convert it into that currency. Not that currency in terms of the money in the bank, but that inner riches, that abundance, gaining that mindset that can help us to pursue anything that we want in life. So we help organizations to optimize the human behavior and also specifically focus on women's leadership as well, looking at the unique challenges that women go through based on gender bias, gender roles. So we help women to disrupt this through my group, which is called the Sister Talk group, which we were on Oprah Live class 3 times. And we're really passionate to see how we can support women throughout the rest of this year.
Oh, wow. I love it. We're going to have to talk too as well. Like, okay, how are we going to get on Oprah? How do we do that? I'm learning a lot today. But I love the fact that you support women and we have a wonderful array of boss women today. And I don't usually use that word, but I saw someone was a boss or had boss insights. That was Karen. So we're going to make this a boss ladies day. And our last guest, not least, but our last guest, Miss Rhonda Brunson. I always save one person for last. I don't know what it is, but I saved Rhonda for last because I said, okay, I'm going to learn from everybody. Kara's going to help me. Carolyn's going to help me. And then I'm going to go over Rhonda's house and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to learn all about credit while we sip a glass of wine. Rhonda Brunson is Miss B. Credit Queen, and she teaches the credit gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Rhonda, but they call me the Credit Queen. And for the last 16 years, I've been preaching and teaching the credit gospel to all who will listen. I do own Miss B Credit Queen as a credit restoration firm. I own a sales company called Miss B Financial Firm. And I have a nonprofit called Project Restore Be More that is geared towards slowing gentrification and helping minorities buy homes.
Wow. Now, everyone who's tuning in, you're going to want to share this show. Go ahead and share it, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I know we're going to learn a lot today, which is the focus of the show. So I want to start over here with Kara. We talked a little bit about your organization and some of the things that you are doing with women. Tell us a little bit about that, but also tell us how it has been affected by COVID-19.
Sure. So in my two businesses, both the coaching business and Powerful Ladies, you know, everyone's impacted by COVID-19 in some capacity. I got flat a couple of years ago after working in apparel and footwear for 20 years that for me, what lit me up was empowering people and showing them that whether it was their business or whatever they were up to in life, it was way easier to access than they thought it was. So anything I can do to provide resources, community, or knowledge to move someone to their next level, like that's what I'm committed to. Since we've been in pandemic, you can imagine with having small business clients, it's been the whole range of emotions from people who have been panicking about what they're going to do and if they have to close, to people who are like smooth sailing, things are okay. And even some people who have had opportunities since this has happened. And what I've been focusing on are the four P's of pandemic: to pause, prioritize, prune, and pivot. A lot of people have been talking about pivoting with their businesses or even their personal finances. And I think that you can't pivot until you do the first three steps and really get flat. I heard on another podcast that there was a quote of, you know, we're all freaking out about the life we had before, but maybe we should stop and ask if we really want that life we used to have, or if now is the time to create what we've always wanted or what we can step into who we really want to be. And that's where I've been focusing all of our energy. Within Powerful Ladies, we have the podcast, as I said earlier, we do events and courses. We have an online community called the Thrive Community. We're just bringing women together who, just like this, you know, all women who are up to something and awesome, and we're sharing our resources so that we can all rise together. And now is the perfect time to lean in on that, like asking for help, saying where you're at and where we can go forward. And we've personally pivoted by doing a lot more online courses and programs. We do like a intro budgeting class. We also do a how to sell what you know class to give people a new income stream right now, especially with so many possibilities through Zoom. So we've been bringing a lot of our projects forward from things we were going to release in Q3 and Q4 to now. So it's been a little crazy at headquarters here, but anything we can do to rush forward these tools and resources to help people now is where we've been focusing.
Excellent. Now tell us a little bit about Powerful Lady Podcast. Is this a daily podcast, weekly? How often do you do it?
It releases every Wednesday. So we have a new one coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow releases, I think, episode 62. So we've been doing it for about a year and a half now. And we interview women, power couples, and there's a handful of men in there as well. Just people who are just really committed to curating the life that they want versus the life that they should have. So we have everything from entrepreneurs to creatives, athletes, chefs. Based on who I am and what I attract as a business-focused entrepreneur, a lot of the women in there are entrepreneurs as well. And I really believe that everyone has a story to tell that someone's waiting to hear. Like, how do we inspire both our peers and the women rising behind us? So for me, it's so fascinating to interview these incredible women, share their stories, how they've gotten through, the hard parts in life, because we all have our story. We all have gone through those challenges. And I'm so inspired by seeing women say like, no, like I know what I want, or I think I know what I want. I'm going to go and find it. I'm going to create my own path. And I really want to encourage other people to do that as well. Like there's so much opportunity and there's so many possibilities for what our life can have and be and what we can do in it and how we can all be a contribution. So let's talk about that and let people know that things can be easier and fun at the same time, and you can make an impact, right? So one of our slogans is, you know, you can have fun and change the world at the same time. So why not do that and do it together?
Well, I love it. And I love the whole aspect of doing it together. I'm pretty sure you're most likely booked for the next 2 years, but some of the guests today will be excellent people to interview and allow you to share their story. I don't know if you had a talk show host, but I would love to come sit down with you and talk about some of the things that we're doing to help all of these powerful ladies to be able to expand and to grow their businesses. I also like what you said about the four P's. And one of the words I keep hearing is the word pivot. Businesses are talking about pivoting, because obviously no one expected this pandemic. No one thought that everybody had our like you talked about the different quarters, quarter three, quarter four. We had this plan for the year, and then our plan was just basically just logged up and thrown away. And so we had to figure out how to go a different direction. I love those four P's. I definitely want you to give them to us again. But me as a person, I'd have the five P's, because for everything with me, it starts with prayer. But give us those four P's again, please.
Sure. It's pause, prioritize, prune, and pivot.
Love it. Now, when we talk about some of the things that we're going through as a woman, I want to move over to Carolyn real quick and talk about, you know, being that you're at a certified emotional intelligence and neural life coach. One of the things that I saw when I launched my first radio show in 2009, it was a blog talk radio show. And I was trying to figure out life just like everyone else after the 2008 recession. But I saw uprising of coaches, of people who were just like, you know what can I do? What do I have this experience with? And people were like, life. So how are you helping people deal with the emotions and the aspects that they have going on during this time, Carolyn?
Yeah, and it's so important what Kara mentioned in terms of the pause. The pause is such a powerful place to be. We think that there isn't movement in silence and stillness, but there is. And during this pandemic, there's just so much information that's coming to us. We process over 34,000 emotions, over 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. With the pandemic, that number has probably tripled. And we're now in a space where there's so much data and information coming to us that the brain is trying to keep up while we're also trying to figure out, but what's going on with my future? Life as I know it, it has changed. So there's this inner turmoil. A lot of things will come up. A lot of traumas, triggers will come up again, because now that we've paused and we're no longer doing life as we know it, we're still busy. There's still things going on, but we're in a very unique position where life as we know it, 2020 as we know it, it has changed. So now the brain is on this quest looking for certainty. And that's one of the things we prioritize in my company. We teach women about the brain. Here's how your brain works. The automatic negative thoughts that you have coming is because that you're human and there's nothing wrong with you. You will feel guilt. You will feel doubt. And then what I've been concentrating on in helping my clients to create emotional strength and capacity by using the pause to grieve life as we know it. Because grief, it's all about an emotional tie to something. And we started off this year with some great intentions, right? We recently launched the transition, and the transition is all about helping people to transition, not just for this pandemic, but day to day, because every day we wake up, there's another shift. I no longer call it the new normal. I call it the shift in normal, because we don't know what the day will bring. But what I remind people of, we have the inner resources, we have the resilience, we have the psychological resilience for us to face anything that comes up. But we have to give ourselves permission to expand on what it means to pause, what it means to grieve. Grieving might look like, today I'm not doing anything. Today I could barely get out of bed. Honor that. It means it's part of the human experience. Exploring sadness, the frustration, the disappointment, the depression, everything that comes with this season, it is part of our strength and our resources to continue building during and throughout. So I just really want to encourage people to, the days that you feel that low, honor it, because it's part of your strength. It's part of your resilience. We can tap into the power of our emotional intelligence if we don't give ourselves permission to really understand what our emotional data is telling us. And emotions, it doesn't have a gender, and it's not a directive to act, but it's an indication of how powerful you are and how you're able to feel those emotions and use that to create and build the consistency you need for the life that you want.
I love that. I'm gonna have to call you every morning just so I can start my morning with you. We just be like, look, get me ready for the day, because I needed that. I needed to hear that in my spirit. Like, it resonated with me. I thought it was so beautiful. And I love the whole pause, which out of the four P's that you kind of keyed in on, but it was also the one thing that people have talked to me about personally, because I made a post and it basically said something to the extent of, you know, if you're not using this time to be productive, then what are you doing with your life? And I thought I was like being this wonderful, you know, sending this message. Oh no, the people came back and they were like, Sharifa, if you don't want to get out the bed, if you just want to rest, it's okay. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to put added pressure on people, but I guess I did.
Yeah. And what I invite people also to do is to reframe what productivity is, right? We all inherited the language from history, and there's a certain connotation attached to it. A lot of it is negative, as we know. We have been given an opportunity to rewrite so many rules and to rewrite so many narratives and stories that we have. So I encourage people to, you know what? Yes, expand on what productivity looks like. Productivity means taking a pause for my mental health this morning. Productivity means starting my day at 12 as opposed to 7 because I woke up and I'm just really exhausted. Productivity means checking in with a friend and sharing the fact that today was hard for me. All of that is part of the intelligence around our emotions. So we have to also, because the brain looks for a target, it looks for information. If we say productivity means working hard, you're at your computer every day, you're always on the go, when we're no longer doing those things, it registers as failure in the brain and in our bodies. But if we rewrite the rules around that particular thing, if we reframe it, then we are starting and we're giving ourselves permission to really start from a powerful place. So I also invite people to reframe all the information you're getting, even from us. Take what really resonates with you and start there. That is how you really step into your power and you align with your intended path and purpose.
I love it. I'm still calling you in the morning, but I'm going over to Camille real quick. You know, we talked about the pause. We talked about the four P's. We talked about our emotions. But one of the things that I've seen is the messaging change in the media, where for businesses, it used to be what I felt was more of the hard sell. You have to get the money. You have to make the money. But now it's more the PR message. The message that's going out is, being of service. How can I help? You watch all the commercials. I watched the Indeed commercial and they're talking about, we're here to make sure you get back to work. They have all the people on Zoom. I thought I was never going to find a job. I just got laid off, but I got a job. You know, you have Domino's who says, we're hiring. Our job is to get you, you know, food on your table and be able to pay your bills. But have you changed or talked to your clients, Camille, about the PR messaging that's going out these days?
Absolutely. It's all about the spin and the pivot, as you guys have been saying. Messaging is really, to me, always about being emotion provoking. If you specifically want to be on the news, you want to make your viewer or your reader relate to you. You want them to feel what you're talking about, to have some type of emotion, to cry, to want to help. So it's all about changing that message at this time in order to be newsworthy and to be relevant. People want to support companies that they trust. People want to support businesses that they feel care about them. And what's interesting is one of my clients that I still have, thank goodness, is a restaurant, Blue Waters Caribbean and Seafood Grill. They're a small business, a Black-owned business. And in this time, many of those businesses are the ones that are struggling. Luckily, Blue Waters is still open. However, we're going and donating to essential workers at hospitals on the front lines. Those are the emotions that people want to see right now. They want to see, not only is this small business failing or potential has the potential to fail or not know when they will be able to reopen as a sit-down restaurant. Not only do they know, hey, will we be closing our doors tomorrow, but they're still paying it forward and giving it back to others. That's what people want to see right now. I've seen the message shift to, like you said, people who are giving back at this time, people who are fighting on the front lines, people who are credible. However, I'm taking notes over here. I love how Point Kara was talking about the four P's. That's an example of how to change the conversation. When she said the four P's, that's what I do. I create those messages to make people relevant and newsworthy. And I love how she created that message around the pandemic. That's what it's all about right now.
What are some tips for that you can provide for business owners who don't know how to do that spin or change their message to be relevant?
Absolutely. I know that it's really difficult in this time. People may feel hiring a publicist, you know, I don't have the liquid income to do that, or can I just do it myself? That's the benefit of having a professional do that language for you, whether it's a brand manager or someone in public relations. However, if you can't do it yourself, I try to make my clients come up with four main topics. And even if they're going on the news, they need to be able to spit out those four main topics or messages. So that's where I would start. What are the four main messages that you want to get out about your business? Who do you serve? What is it that we do? Make sure that you're getting that in the conversation, and making people at home feel as though we're in this together, that it's a community. That's what people want to feel right now. The emotional piece, that's so important, because mental health is important at this time, especially when we're social distancing. Those are the messages that the media wants to hear right now. So I would say community, keep it focused on that. How is your business coming together to build community during this time?
I love it.
May I jump in on something? I think there's
absolutely.
Yeah. I love what you said about like being of service. And I think that there's so much power in every business being clear on how what they do is really serving people all the time, right? Like, you know, if I look at my own business, I love what I do, but I like, for me, it's like serving people to move them forward. And every business, even like restaurants, you name it, there's a way where like, we're really being of service at the heart of it. And I'm like, always come back to that. The businesses that know what their touchstone is of how they transform people's lives every day, like those are the ones that are gonna keep winning. And it makes you, your job as a PR person, so much easier, right? If like, yeah. If they're aligned with like what their heart, where their heart is in their business. Absolutely. And it just makes you stronger and like build that community. So mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. Plus engagement's up 40% right now. 40%. So like people need, like now is the time to get a PR person if you never have it before.
Yeah. Thank you. Words to live by. Definitely. Engagement is up mainly because everyone is on Facebook. I saw a study the other day that people are actually spending all day. So they're not at their 9 to 5. So they spend 9 to 5 on Facebook, on social media, because you can't miss out on anything. I know when this first started, I always enjoy memes. Like, I'm a meme person. I love to see the memes that are going to come out. And before this, I ran for Long Beach City Council, and I made a post that when I go out, I just pray not to turn out as a meme. Like, that's my whole thing. No matter what, like, I don't know if they listen to me, they hear me. I just don't want to be a meme. That's me. I want to move over to Rhonda real quick. We talked about messaging, but we also talked about some of the conversations that people either want to have or don't want to have during this time frame. And I think one of the things that a lot of people are really afraid of is their credit. You know, during normal times, it's like, oh, pay your bills, fix this, pay off this. And now many people have lost their jobs and they're like, you know what? I can't worry about that credit. What do you say to those people, Rhonda?
Well, essentially, when it comes to credit, you know, the premise of credit is keeping your word. And yeah. When you can't keep your word, having the ability to communicate. Now, what this pandemic did, what is it exposed, how many people really suffer from anxiety when it comes from communicating with collectors or communicating with creditors. So we have to get past that issue. And you have to exhibit a lot of patience. The hold times are at record high. Even if I'm trying to communicate on behalf of a client, I have 2 cell phones. I'll have one here and I'm out the room because I know the hold time is going to be 3 hours. But, you know, at least I'm not losing my space in line for that person. And also trying to find unconventional means of communication. So financially, I'm prepared for a pandemic. But just in case, I always like to test stuff for my clients. So I have an auto loan with Capital One. And I wanted to do a deferment. I mean, I deal with people that have bad credit. The reality is they may not pay me. Amen. So if I, what I did was I called, and every time you would call, they would hang up on you. And so they hired amazing PR that said, we're doing great. We're doing this for the community. I'm like, this is a lie. You're not doing anything. So when I went to their Facebook page, they had thousands of complaints in their boxes. And what they did was they assigned someone to keep responding to those. But by the time I had got there, I had already filed a complaint against them with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, because you're going to cause people to be late considering you're not communicating with them. And the deferment option is not an option that's normally on their website. So through the Facebook link, someone first reached out to me, sent me the link I needed for the deferment. But then someone from higher up, because of my complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, reached out to me and we were able to get it all together. But you have to have the ability to fight, be patient, and the will to communicate, or your credit is going to go in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. I think communication is the key. When this initially started, I was looking at, someone had posted a list of companies that are willing to work with you as a result of this pandemic. And I was like, oh, there's T-Mobile. I love T-Mobile. I have T-Mobile. This is not a T-Mobile advertisement, but I kind of like you. I wanted to test this whole thing out. I was like, well, how are they gonna help me? So I called T-Mobile and I said, you know, I noticed that you were one of the companies that were working with your customers due to this pandemic. And the gentleman said to me, he was like, yes, we want to help you. We'll help you with the payment arrangement if you're unable to pay. And I was like, okay, I could have done that without the COVID-19.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me give you another example, Geico. So I think it was two car insurance companies that waived premiums for the rest of the year. They did something crazy, like really, really helpful. Geico sends me an email saying, we're going to waive a portion of your premium for your next renewal period. No, Geico, I need that waived now. You know what I mean? So my policy had already renewed 2 months ago. Whatever you're offering me is not going to come till our next 6 months together. I need help now. So when I called, I said, I think I'm going to leave you. I don't like how you treat me. I think if nothing else, what you're getting out of this experience is understanding how your creditors feel about you as a human. So even with the rumor that, if you have a specific mortgage type, you're entitled to a deferment. That is not true. You have to speak to that loan holder in order to know what they're offering. And there's a big difference between a deferment and a forbearance. So the messaging, PR, from the White House has been, you know, if you do this, if you have a HUD-1 and that's just not true. So just knowing our language today, later on, I do videos on my Instagram page that breaks down credit, student loans, and stuff like that. I'm going to do one from a teaching perspective, and I'm going to be holding up words so that people can know what it is, because you don't know the language. They know their language. You don't know their language, and you end up signing into stuff that is absolutely not beneficial to you.
Okay, so tell us your Instagram. Tell us what time you're going to be doing the videos, because we did.
Now listen, my video is not live. I had to edit.
If you want to tune in.
So I will publish it sometime today, but my Instagram is Ms. Brunson_CreditQueen.
Okay, I love it. Now, Karen, we're going to hop on over to talk to you. And I'm learning, I'm listening. But one of the things that we do not want to talk about during this time frame, and maybe people are saying, okay, well, that's not going to help me, is lending and loans. Because initially we heard the one thing that started immediately was SBA loans. SBA loans. If you're a small business owner, you need help with your payroll, go and get these SBA loans. And then people went to the website, the forms weren't ready, they pushed them back for a different day. It was like this whole hassle to a lot of business owners, I think, just said, you know what, forget it. I won't even deal with it. What are your thoughts on that, Karen?
Okay, I have a lot to say about it. First, I want to say that this group of six women, basically, we're going to form a sorority. We're all going to go and move in together post-COVID. You're all so inspirational. It's just, I feel like we all are practicing be the change you want to see in the world in our own unique ways. And I almost want to cry because it's so inspiring. I'm not kidding. I know we're talking about loans and data, and it could not be more geeky and technical, but it comes from a very emotional space for me. I was brought up to succeed. You know, you gotta succeed for yourself and then give back to your community. I have the sense that each one of us were brought up with that kind of ethos, because we're all doing it in our own ways. And there is no selling without targeting emotional. I don't care if you're selling a product to banks or if you're solving people's credit and getting them to stand in their own power. You have to be able to understand what the other person needs to hear. So we talked a lot about Kara's four P's. We have three P's at Boss Insights. We all love the letter P. I'm not sure why, but it was people, purpose, and perseverance is what we stand for. Be the change you want to see in the world. And what I saw was 8 million businesses, a 5 trillion need gap for lending that was not being filled. And this was before COVID. And I know there are a lot of things broken, but notwithstanding that, in a month, $350 billion were released. Mm-hmm. Usually legislation like this, and even legislation would be one of those big words for who really knows what that means. It's paper. What is the real purpose of it? Who knows? It was pushed out in weeks. There are mistakes all over it. Should I say mistakes? Maybe there are inconsistencies. And the whole, if we're going to sum up what the SBA CARES PPP product, say that 10 times fast. If we're going to sum up that, it's banks send out the money now to the small and medium businesses and deal with the fallout later. That is the summary of what this product was. And in 3 or 4 weeks, $350 billion pushed out into the market. It's really, when you talk about billions or trillions or even millions, does anybody even, I don't feel that. What I feel was the one time I was sitting at my desk, not loving my job as a banker, because I'm quite an emotional person myself, but listening to the orthodontist saying to me, here's what's up. This is my life right now. I cannot keep this practice open if I don't have this money. And you're telling me I can't get this money until 4 months later when the rent, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's Christmas. When's your appointment start up again? And he told me it was 3 weeks later. I said, great, send me that. And I got him a little bit of a bump up for 2 months just to help him through. And that's what PPP CARES is supposed to be. It's really unprecedented. It's money that businesses could get. And then the first 8 weeks of that loan is forgiven. Now comes the fine print, because I know we were all alluding to fine print and life is all about the fine print, right? The banks are covered by the government if the borrower is the right kind of borrower, if the borrower has the right kind of information, and if they're using the loan in the right kind of way. That's a lot of it. Those are three ifs, and that's where the data comes into play. So what did Boss Insights do? We were out there for 2.5 years shouting into the wind, hey, lenders, if you could see your businesses in real time, and a business is not a set of financials, none of us are defined by financial statements, even though we live by them. If you could see them, you could serve them better. You always talk about wanting to be there for your customers. Well, here is the way. Turn this on in 8 weeks. You can understand your businesses. And we pivoted that. We took a minute. We pivoted what we were doing so that it could completely serve PPP CARES. And not just the getting the loans out there, but that forgiveness calculation. So now the banks are empowered, because the banks are people too. I know as a bank, it doesn't seem like a person, but Bank of America had 3,000 people handling 250,000 applications in 3 weeks. It just, the numbers boggle the mind. So what we did, I've been working for 18 hours a day since the beginning of March. And I don't know how, I'm more tired than I was when I had my kids. But the idea that be the change you want to see in the world, make it possible for the 1.4 million businesses, where all people just like the six of us talking right now, to get their money. And then when June comes around and there is no more PPP CARES, unless it's extended, that SBA program, which was a little bit broken to begin with, we can serve that one too. So this is just my geeky version of that, I guess.
I love it. Has anyone else had any type of experience with the SBA or the PPP loan?
The PPP CARES. Just call it CARES, I guess.
I would say that, so from a cultural standpoint, mm-hmm. those loan products don't work for us. In a lot of ways, it's because when we create business, we create it close to our heart. We don't create them in a standard format where you are building it outside of yourself and you're hiring employees. For the most part, we are LLCs that are really sole proprietorships. So mm-hmm. when it comes to having to justify how money is spent or covering a payroll that really is non-existent, we don't qualify. So I would say, in addition to all the education, just to continue to be empathetic to those who really are sole proprietors whose businesses may continue to fail if they don't pivot. Because they're going to have to find something else to do. The loans in America or credit in America, all of that has already been skewed differently. It does change depending upon who you are. So don't ever let them lie to you. It does change depending upon who you are, where you were raised, what they know of you. But it's even more difficult in situations like this when businesses, brown ones, yellow ones, non-white ones have been trying to apply for the same funding years before pandemic and couldn't qualify at all.
So I have a question. Because I'm from Canada, right? And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying, I agree with, and you have to be the one, like, it sounds ridiculous if I'm coming.
No, it's fine.
But in Canada, there's programs on the individual side and on the business side. And I'm wondering, in the United States, are there programs on the individual side for the business? Because the first thing Boss Insights did was take the founder salaries down to zero so that every employee, and there's eight of us, it's not a landmine here, but every employee knew they had 6 months of work without even thinking about it. At the start of this, before any government program was announced, are there programs like that in the United States that help people who really are working essentially for free to get what they care about, the change they want to see out?
So I guess I would equate that to the unemployment program that is supposed to be for the self-employed. So like now they have something for if you were a musician prior to COVID and you played for a church or you played for the opera, but you were a 1099 employee, they're trying to give you some type of unemployment benefit, but it can't, for what you're describing, we wouldn't have a payroll to turn in later to make the loan even forgivable if you don't have staff. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll look into it. I have not heard of it. You know, the United States is not as friendly as Canada. If I could cross the border, I absolutely would, but we're working on it.
We've got to take the American opportunity and marry it to the Canadian protections a little bit. Right.
Yes. I think there's the interim, and I think there are programs in America, and I think a lot of those programs start with they have a lot of minority owned business focus. But I think part of the challenge, and I use that word, is that there are so many, like Rhonda said, sole proprietors, they're not going to qualify for those programs because they have not, there are specific requirements that they may not have put in place. And then when there are unexpected situations like this, they don't have the parameters needed in order for them to qualify for those loans. But even without the minority owned businesses, what I have personally seen is that most of the assistance has gone to the larger companies. So it's always the big businesses, no matter what the race is, who get all the assistance. You know, we're always willing to bail out the banks and bail out this organization. I saw Richard Branson, now he has his plane up or his island up, you know, as collateral to bail out Virgin Atlantic, you know, so we're going to bail out the airlines because the airlines have suffered. But what about the local businesses? And that's why I love seeing, and I think it was Camille or someone, I'm not sure, who mentioned like the local businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. That's my focus. Not only with Montage PR, I've been focused on women owned, you know, those are the people that make our communities thrive, you know, those small businesses, the Black-owned businesses, Brown-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, and those are the people that I've been encouraging people to pour into. You know, if you're not creating some type of pandemic relief fund for yourself and your family right now, I definitely have been encouraging people to support the economy, you know, and pouring into those businesses.
I'd like to flag out Hello Alice. It's an American company that is supporting, and there's, I'll put a link up, I guess, after, if you like. I don't know it off by heart, but they have a link that shows all the different types of funds that you can get access to. And there are, you know, some for tech startups, some for minority or diverse businesses. And Hello Alice has a fund themselves. And there's also the owner of Spanx put out some, she wants to invest in a bunch of female founded companies. Lots of things that I cannot get access to as a Canadian company. So I am putting my complaint in now. It's not enough that our government is backing us. I want the American funds too. No, I'm just kidding. But there's an entire list out there. And I think it stems from Hello Alice and also from the Spanx owner. And I'm so sorry, I don't have, but they put out these funds. So if you can get the word out to the people who are not having payroll. PPP CARES is reduced because it's not based on financial statements. It's based just on if you have staff. But if you don't have that, if your business is not traditional in that way, Hello Alice is where to go. And I will get you all that link so that you don't have to go hunting for it.
Another great one is I Fund Women. It's a newsletter that you can sign up for. They tell you all the time. They provide grants and loans, and they also connect you with a lot. There's so much money in the U.S. that is for minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses that isn't getting used. Like the SBA prior to the pandemic had money that people weren't using every year because they don't know it's there. And I totally agree that there is a complete breakdown in the US of just telling people what's available to them and like telling people how. You know, with all the clients I serve, most are women who applied. Some of them applied for PPP or the disaster relief loan. If your state has been declared a state of emergency, you can apply for that as well. And the questions were, there was like five questions on the application, but if you didn't know what those things meant, you really didn't know how to fill it out correctly or to empower yourself. So I love, Rhonda, that you are telling people what these terms mean, because that's like the breakdown in financial literacy across the US in general, and how it is so skewed based on where you've grown up and what neighborhood you've been in, and all those factors that we don't talk about, how there's a breakdown in language and translation that people don't have access to. Like if we say everyone's literate, but if you're not literate in business or in finances or even in insurance, there's so many barriers, and like, who's going to teach you? Like that's the part that I think there's so much opportunity for women like us to be making sure people have access to those things, because that's how people can change their life, right? Like if you know what you need to get a loan or what a few terms mean, or even who to reach out to, like there are so many resources that people need all the time, and we just don't know that they're next to us.
Absolutely. Now, I want to go back to Carolyn for a minute. One of the things that we talked about is the anxiety. You know, for me as a business owner, you know, I'm listening to Kara, and Kara's just like, you know, you go get the money. The money is out there. And I almost tense up like, okay, I don't even want to go through the application process because I know I'm not, you know, that may be a negative thought, but I feel that they're not going to give it to me. So what are some of your suggestions or recommendations so that people can work through this process, Carolyn?
It all goes back, and actually Rhonda touched on it. There is so much shame and anxiety around our money stories. Money, I think, is one of the biggest shame. Money and our bodies and how we look, right? These are two of probably the biggest shame suitcases that we carry around. Partly because, hey, we didn't get the language or the framing around it. And during this time with the pandemic, the anxiety will show up. So one of the things that I encourage everyone to do is to take a look at your relationship with your emotions. Emotion is not a directive to act, and it's not who you are. So the fact that you are feeling the anxiety, and the anxiety, the bodily sensation of an emotion, is in your body. So where do you carry your anxiety? Is it in your chest? Is it in your jaw, right? Do you find yourself grounding your feet in the ground? So I think the first thing I'd encourage everyone to do is awareness. Start there. How does anxiety feel in my body? So when it comes knocking on your door, you can recognize it. You can see it for what it is. Oh, this is a very stressful time, and my body's reacting to the external circumstances. Oh, which is natural because we're in a global pandemic and we've never been through one before. So I don't have enough data for me to create a roadmap for it. So I'm literally creating the roadmap in the moment. Awesome. So actually with that awareness, you can now decide, you choose. This is where being present in our lives gives us an opportunity to reframe. So the minute you acknowledge, and I call it acknowledging the elephant in the room. The minute you acknowledge the elephant in the room, anxiety is here. Here's how it feels in my body. Then you can now decide, okay, what's my next step? What is my worst case scenario? What is my best case scenario? If I don't take action, so action now is the energy, the energetic force that will shift our current state. So it's all about shifting your state. If I don't do anything, I stay in the same place, I'm babysitting my anxiety, I'll probably end up on being on the couch and not doing anything, which increases the overwhelm. So how do we get out of this? So we take an action, whether I call somebody like Rhonda to help me explain or to get me to understand, or do I need to call a carer? I want to go online, but I don't know where to start. Usually the anxiety is with the overwhelm of so many different, you know, ideas or information coming to us, or just not knowing where to start. And I would also say, write something on paper. So first we name it awareness. We name it, it's anxiety. I feel it in here. The minute you do that, you deactivate the amygdala, which is the flight of the fear center of the brain, the fight or flight. So now you're in that awareness. We can now choose to do an action. Who can I call? Who can I reach out to? Who can I email? And then writing it down. anxiety visited today, here's what it looked like, and here's what I did. And a quick acronym to help you to label that, I call it the T. So ask yourself, what kind of T am I making right now? And T stands for the thoughts. What thoughts am I thinking that's driving my anxiety? E stands for emotion. Again, what is the emotion I'm feeling? Where's that emotion? Where's that energy in my body? And A is, what is the action I can take immediately right now to help me to change my state? So always check in with yourself and see, what kind of tea am I making? Am I liking the tea? Because every thought we have releases a chemical concoction in our body, which can either increase your stress or decrease your stress. And this is how powerful we are, because this brain that we have the ability for us to change our current reality, which helps us to change our trajectory.
Carolyn, it's Karen. I just want to, I completely agree with what you're saying. I had to apply for a loan. I'm a former commercial banker. I have a business degree, which I hated taking, by the way. I was very lucky, but it was did not feel like me at all. When I did our loan application in the middle of COVID, I had the same panic that anyone else would have when filling out that application, because what I feel is not, look, I'm going to have enough money to have groceries for a couple months. That's not the panic. The panic is that the people that I'm employing might not. And I actually called some of them and I said, look, you're going to call me if things get really bad, because what we're going to find a place for you to stay. You're not going to get into it. So that's what I was feeling. And I am by no means, don't get me wrong, I don't have an island to put up as collateral, but most of us here are sitting in, we have enough food and water and shelter. We're looking at, how do we get meaning out of our lives? Yeah. When I'm sitting there doing that loan application, mm-hmm. I'm looking at it, and I actually sent it to our government officials and said, this is what you're having people fill out, and forget about the people filling it out. Look at the bankers who are basically working tirelessly now for 2 months trying to get these applications in. I myself was on the phone with the banker. It's all about relationships. You call, and it was not a intense conversation for them to explain to me why everything was required. Everything sent by email. Who knows what kind of identity stuff can go wrong there? So everything you're saying, when it comes down to it, is really hard to do. So I would say just call when you get to a question that either you don't know what the question is, or you don't know how you're supposed to answer, just call somebody. Someone in your social network is going to know. Get that done and get to the next step. This program is good till June, based on a regular program, which was broken for most banks. And I'm trying, that's why I'm kept up at night. I'm trying to fix it. But I feel it just like everyone else does. And I'm not getting the money for at least 5 weeks ourselves. And that's in a better position than most. So how do we fix that for the widest group of people? These small businesses, these sole proprietorships, these unconventional businesses, aren't they the voice of the future? Yeah. This is who we have to, this is what I'm trying to, I mean, I feel like you guys are all too. So that's why I said, let's just figure it all out. It's no big deal.
And being aware of the anxiety, and it's so important to also share the stories as well, because Karen, as you mentioned, you know, you have the hard time. We all are having a hard time. And the more that we share that, where are the stories? Because we're in survival mode. Like, you cannot answer this question. You don't know where your next salary is coming or if you don't have a home. So people don't have the capacity to tell the story. So that's why it's important to normalize that. Yeah, we're all struggling. We're all in this storm together. And, you know, this social media strategist, a friend of mine, Cher Jones, she said that we're all in this storm together, but we're not all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Panic is a luxury. Fear is a luxury. And if anything, this whole pandemic is showing us the gaps, right? The socioeconomic gaps. Like, some people cannot afford to sit and panic and stay in bed. Like, you have to go out and do something. If not, your family won't be able to eat tomorrow, right? So it's, there are so many layers to it. So building that inner psychological resilience for all CEOs, for all leaders, for all business leaders, don't overlook that part. Because the capacity to acknowledge and say, yeah, I'm feeling that anxiety today. I just need to get a glass of water, or I need to just email someone and say I'm struggling. I don't need a solution, but I just want someone else to know. That will fill up your cup for tomorrow. So now you have more capacity to think, to strategize, to say, oh yes, let me reach out to Rhonda. Maybe Rhonda can help me with this. Because sometimes when you're caught in that anxiety trap, you don't see a way out. You can't see anything but just staying there, but just know it's possible for you to get out of it.
Can I add something to that?
Sure, absolutely.
Because my panic and my pause came way before they had a program for any businesses. It started in the beginning, and I didn't know physically what was happening to me, I was lounging around like, oh my gosh. Now I'm a person that I'm located physically. I live in Miami. My offices are in Baltimore. I travel 2 or 3 times a month in different locations. So now I can't travel and I really like it. And I feel like I'm losing everything that I like to do. I like to go to the beach once a week. That's what I do. I can't go to the beach. I just felt so stripped of everything. Yeah. So in my mind, I honestly told myself, this is it. Life's over. We're going to die. And I stopped processing payments. Clients were calling me like, you didn't process my payment. I was like, you have money? Are you okay? Okay, I'll process, because you know the storyline on the news was, this is it. And I was like, well, you know, well, where we're going, we don't need credit. It's going to be wonderful. It's the land of milk and honey. We're out of here. So I think that for my pause, I really had to slap myself back into it, because it's not a lot. Once you've done your business, and I've been self-employed since 2008, this is like breathing, right? Mm-hmm. This caused me to stop breathing though. And I had to be like, wait, okay, do I work? Do I not work? What's my role now? And I was like, well, you know what? You've been preparing for this for a long time. You've been an educator forever. So now it's just changing the focus from just solely about buying houses or just solely about student loans to literal education and everyday stuff that people need to know and be aware of. But that pause and that pivot, honey, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. Wasn't ready.
That's okay, Rhonda. You're at the top of our 2-call list. So I'm going to just have you call everybody. I'm going to have you call for the applications, to get the money. Rhonda handle it. That's going to be my new phrase. Rhonda, just talk to Rhonda. I got people now. One of them is Rhonda. Now, we are coming down to the last minutes of the show. We've been talking a lot. We do have Chandra Gore joining us, the other half of the PR Collective. We got a little background in Chandra, so I don't know if you need to mute the background or mute the show, but I got background. Good morning, Chandra.
Can you hear me good? Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I had some issues this morning, and it kind of, my anxiety has been like 110 because I've been working late trying to get, you know, clients together dealing with this pandemic, and my internet went out and finally wanted to come back on a little bit later. But yes, I've been listening to the conversation so far, and it's true. We do have to manage how we vent. I have my partner to vent to, so this is actually a very good conversation that we needed to have today.
Well, thank you. We definitely appreciate you for joining us. I really wish we had more time to be able to ask you some of the hard questions that we asked.
Yeah.
We've just been moving. We've been talking. Great group of ladies. So since we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, what I do is I allow my guests allow to speak to everyone who's listening live, who's watching live, also everyone who's watching in the archive, and just give them a few brief final words that you want them to take away from your appearance on the show. So we're going to go ahead and give you that opportunity, Chandra, since you just joined us.
My name is Chandra Gore. I'm one half of the PR Collective with Camille Davis. I would want to say, anybody who's dealing with anything right now, focus on the positive aspect. Write that book that you were thinking about. And if you need help, there's a great battery of ladies to reach out to. And that's pretty much all I have.
Well, thank you for joining us. Camille, what do you have for us?
Everyone who is tuning in, thank you guys. But of course, as a publicist, I want to encourage people to pour into themselves at this time, whether that's your, you know, building yourself up physically, whether that's, you know, strengthening yourself mentally, emotionally, but specifically those businesses, to piggyback on what Chandra said, definitely start that business, you know. And of course, don't feel bad if you don't start that business. If you're just getting rest, that's fine as well. But again, like she says, you do have publicists, you do have accountants, you do have CPAs, people that are willing to fight the fight with you and be on that long haul. But this is the time to definitely examine, you know, where we want to go. You know, I love how we were talking about creating that roadmap in the moment. That's exactly what I do, essentially. So I just want to encourage people that you're not in this alone. And again, that word community, how are we going to help each other through it?
Thank you. Carolyn.
Karen or Carolyn?
Carolyn.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was you, Karen.
Yeah, you can, please go ahead.
You're doing your best. We do not have a roadmap for this. The entire world is on a global pause and we're all doing our best. The roadmap that you're creating right now by being present and giving yourself permission to grieve as you need to is going to be a part of something beautiful that collectively the whole world can benefit from. And what we really can draw on right now is your authentic truth. So whatever grieving looks like for you right now, honor that. Whatever productivity looks like for you, honor that. And continue to lean in on community because you have that ability for you to change your life through this process, but that roadmap will look different. So continue to honor that, be true to yourself, fight harder for you than you've ever fought before. And that fight can look like you also breaking down, surrender to the process, and trust that everything that you're going through is built to help you to come out stronger.
I love it. I just, if I'm going to have a breakdown, I think I want to have a breakdown where you are right now. I love that. What is that? That throw rug in the background. It's like the perfect place for a breakdown. You're like a therapist's office. You're just like, oh my God, I just want to sit and cry at times. But I love it. I love everything that's going on. Karen.
First off, I want to say I'm really thankful for everything you're saying. I honestly wish I could have it on play because I had a little breakdown this morning myself. I echo everything you're saying. My way of trying to be the change I want to see in the world is empower the lenders so that they can serve us, the businesses, better. If anyone listening has it in them, please let us know at Boss Insights what would make a bank or a lender serve you better, because we're making these products for them. We're taking their word on it, and they have done the studies with you. I'd rather hear from you guys directly and tell them what you want to see. I have the feeling, just because of some of the little bit of education I got from you all this morning, thank you, Rhonda, for that, that we are not getting it right, and I want to get it right. So just let me know how we can make it work. I don't think anyone really fits the mold. I think that's a work of fiction. So let's just make the mold expand. Let's do that, right?
I love it. I love it. I think we're going to have to contact Boss Insights for assistance in getting some of those loans, because that's what we need today. And our small businesses are the heart of the American economy. I don't know how it is in Canada, but I know we need small businesses here.
That's all we are.
Yeah. Need it as well here.
Rhonda.
I guess my final thoughts would be, when you go on a job interview, they often ask you, well, how flexible are you? And I think that if we can remain flexible in these times, if we don't try to stick to what it is that we thought we knew, we'll benefit because we are in uncharted waters. That I would also encourage people to grieve the power of connection. I live far away from my family, and I've talked to them more in this pandemic on Zoom, WhatsApp, Skype, everything than I have ever. And I don't think that I'll take those things for granted again. We get so caught up in our everyday, we forget the things that matter most. And I think this has brought all of that back home.
Yes, I think that's wonderful. That's the one thing that I've heard people say. They've been talking to their family members. They've used all of technology to keep in touch. And it's interesting because my brother lives in Australia and I talk to him almost every day now. And it's funny because he calls and I'm like, did I just talk to you yesterday? But I don't tell him that, but that's what I think. But it's good. We have these conversations. We talk about so much and we never did that before. So it's great to connect with people. So thank you for sharing that, Rhonda. Kara, what do you have for us?
Well, I think, you know, there's definitely time to play defense and to work with your money and your budget and make sure that you have a plan to be solid. And I also encourage everyone to take time right now to dream and play offense. Like, usually we are so busy, especially as, you know, business owners and just women up to things in general. How can we actually give ourselves space to think about what might be next and get tapped into that creativity that we all have? You know, we're doing an event tomorrow night. It's on Zoom. It's called Create Space. And you can sign up on our Instagram at Powerful Ladies, but it's all about like really looking at where we need space in our hearts, minds, and like physical spaces to make room for what's next. Like, there is opportunity out there. You know, I have clients who never thought that they'd find new clients right now in the pandemic. And there are, they're just different clients than they thought they were. So if you can keep coming back to your true what that you sell, which is not photography, for example, it would be like, providing visuals for a brand or creative direction for a brand. Come back to your core what and look at how you can offer that to people who need it today. And there's so many opportunities in that space. So, this has been such an honor to be on with this group of women. And I am excited that you guys have inspired me and reminded me of like how important it is that all of us are leaning in on what we have to offer right now, because I feel better. Like Karen was saying, like this group, I think we just need to have our own summit and we'll start providing some policy go forward.
I mean, count me in. I definitely love to be a part of the summit, the sorority, the podcast, whatever else anyone does moving forward. Like I said, I felt it in my spirit. My spirit told me that this was going to be an amazing show. So I want to thank all the ladies for joining us on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live, everyone who's watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support, but please support the show and our guests. Please share it. But also, that's why I added in the description all of the website links for today's guests. So please visit their websites. Please check out their social media. Let them know you saw them on the Roundtable Talk and continue the conversation. Also, if you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable, please visit the website at asharifa.com. We would love to sit down and talk with you. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye.